Hey listeners, are you getting inspired to dive deeper into your learning of EFFT? If so, head on over to Catherine's website to check out her list of upcoming trainings. Some trainings are focused on combining EFFT with young kids and EFFT play therapy. So head on over to her website and we hope to see you in the future. Check it out at KATHRYNDEBRUIN.com, KatherineDeBruin.com, and we hope to see you in the future.
Welcome to the Family Express podcast, where our destination is resilient and connected families. Come aboard with your hosts, marriage and family therapists, Katherine DeBruin and Rhonda Evans, to explore the world of emotionally focused family therapy, a model developed by Sue Johnson and colleagues. Together with our guest speakers, our travels will map the EFFT landscape, highlighting lessons learned, shared fears, and the passion and curiosity that bonds our community.
Well, listeners, welcome back to the next episode of the Family Express podcast with Katherine and Rhonda. We're excited for our conversation. We have an amazing guest with us out of Vancouver, Canada. Another Canadian is joining us. Thank you, Canada. And today we're going to be joined by Colette Mrazek. And Colette, we're so happy to have you here. Thank you so much.
Oh, such a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Colette. Tell us a little bit about your journey in the world of therapy, how you came into EFFT, and how it's going for you.
Yeah. I think I wanted to be a therapist as early as 16. So at that time, I think I had just finished a round of my own therapy. And that was just such a massive life-changing experience. So I was pretty keen to, I wanted to help people. I wanted to, you know, help people going through hard times. So I kind of, you know, moved away from that for a little bit because it didn't feel practical at one point. I didn't imagine myself in school for a chunk of time. But then slowly came back to it. I'd say about 18. And I ended up going into social service work, and then child and youth care. And then from there, it was just so clear that my passion was counseling. So I did my undergrad in counseling psych, and I specialized in youth and families. And that was at the point where I really fell in love with EFT. So it was just this gorgeous blend of attachment and family systems, and it really used an emotional experience as kind of the core of what you go after to understand a person.
Lovely, wonderful experience you've had, and clear why you were attracted to EFFT. And so how long has it been, and how has the journey gone in terms of integrating it into your experience and the work you've already been doing?
It's been a really interesting journey. So similar to, you know, just even getting into post-secondary, you know, I kind of took the slow or the long route and with a few twists and turns. I really fell in love with it. I ideally wanted an internship, wasn't able to do that straight away. But I found a mentor really early at Vancouver Couples and Family Institute, and I started supervision. So that was my first entry into it. I had originally planned to do the externship, and then I got pregnant. And so what happened for me was, you know, exhaustion and, you know, just the low energy. And we're lucky in Canada, we get, at that point, it was a 1 year mat leave, but, you know, now it's 18 months. So I had decided to defer the training because I felt, oh, I don't know how much I'm really going to use this. I'm going to be off. So I just kept going with supervision, really. That was my entry into EFT, and I had my little workbook, and I had this, you know, I'd have my flex day where I'd go to a cafe and I would do my little workbook, and I would bring in sessions, and so I'd go that way. But I often felt very like I wasn't getting the model. So eventually, I think the first thing I took was an EFIT course. That was sort of the most accessible to me. It was just kind of 2 days. And that was super powerful for me. So at that point, I think I had already had a child, and I was actually struggling a bit with some postpartum depression. And so I remember in the training, what was so valuable was, you know, in one of the exercises, what came up for me was shame. And I remember them talking about, you know, in the model, right, they talk about kind of, you know, deepening your emotional experience. And they often say, if you get to shame, now you're getting somewhere. Now we're rolling up our sleeves, we're moving into core emotions. And so for me, what was so massive was it was suddenly I was realizing what I was grappling with. It was like, I'm having such a hard time as a mom. And then to have, you know, an undergrad in child and youth care and to be this youth and families expert, and I was a parenting worker with teens and all these kinds of things. So being able to name that was huge for me, because then I could actually go get some help, right? And so then again, it was dip my toe in training, kind of do those experientials, and then boom, I was off to my own therapy. So that's kind of how the process has gone for me. I really paused my training just to do my own work.
Wow, that is so incredibly, I just got so many thoughts. Let me see if I can gather them. So for one, like, beautiful human being that you are inside and out, you are attuning to yourself, making space for your own emotions, giving yourself permission to go to those hard places. And then, like, you uncover something new and then you reach out for help. And isn't that just what we do in EFT? We give ourselves permission, or we kind of go to hard places emotionally. And then we can do like co-burdening and co-regulating. And I just think, like, there you are. You're in a training to learn the model, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of some head knowledge, right? You get some experiential exercises in there, some experiential learning. And then you're living the model.
Mm.
I just think that's amazing. That's amazing. And that's your journey. That's kind of how it's happened for you. And that's not necessarily other people's journey. Other people come to EFFT or EFT in other ways. But what a parallel process.
Yeah, that's it. Parallel process. And yeah, for me, it just makes sense. You know, I don't really feel like we can do the work unless we're doing the work on ourselves. Like, I can't truly be present for another if I'm not feeling really rooted and grounded and aware of what my stuff is. Mm-hmm. Right. And that would that was just so clear for me. And it was also just so amazing, because then I was like, I want to go to an EFT therapist, right? And so to have the experience of being a client and then being like, this works, right? Like, I was really able to understand what was happening for myself, right? You know, where the reactivity was coming from. And just, yeah, there's just points that she did with me that were really amazing, where I was really able to notice, like, I'd get sad. And then I remember her saying, you turn a corner and then you get angry. And that's when you really want, okay, it's time for bed. And this kind of stuff starts to come out for you. And so it was just to be slowed down in that way. And I remember her saying, like, is there something you can say to yourself in those moments, right? Like, you're feeling sad, it's not going your way, you're feeling scared, you're not a good enough mom. And then all of a sudden, all the self-compassion work and training I did just came rushing in. It was like, yes. You know, I can hold that little me, you know, I imagined a compassionate kind of mothering image holding me. And that would be what I'd do every time I got reactive with my kids, was just pause and have someone cradling and snuggling me.
Oh my gosh, Claire, thank you for sharing so openly. And like, you're talking about this intersection of being a sort of a new EFT therapist, rushing off to the coffee shop, grabbing an hour here or there, and diving into your books and learning. And it sounds like you kind of try to apply as much as you could understand, maybe like one case at a time. But mm-hmm. then So you're this intersection of like being this new therapist, but also being a mom at home and walking into those very typical experiences of not feeling like we're doing a good job as a parent. But then you actually went and applied this to yourself and did EFIT. And when you said, wow, I hit the shame inside. And I loved your reframe on that. Like when we hit the shame, that means we've rolled up our sleeves and we're really getting to something important. Like what a beautiful reframe of bringing our shame into the open. And I just love that you've had to toggle, right? Do a bit of therapy work, then, but think, oh, I'm learning family therapy, but I don't feel like a very good mom. And then let me go explore this myself and then figure out this piece and find some compassion. And has that helped you? Like, has EFT helped you be a different mom? And has being a mom and sort of wrestling through those feelings inside helped you as an EFT person?
Yeah, those are great questions. I think so for sure. You know, I think just try to reflect on, you know, what parts of that, like I am very much a big believer in being congruent and being authentic. And so I'm never going to ask a client or, you know, family couple to do anything that I haven't done myself. Right. So, you know, it has helped me because I think that's where my empathy really comes in, is that I can really put myself in their shoes, right? Part of me is kind of like tuning into my own experience a little bit, checking it out with them, seeing how that lands. I think is actually quite de-shaming too for a lot of clients as well, to say like, hey, I've been there, you know, I've struggled in this way. And often I'll say to people, you know, when we talk about the pursuers or the more reactive pursuers, or, you know, my thing was, you know, asking a lot of questions. I'd get home from work and I just pepper my poor ex-husband at the time with questions, right? Or, you know, what time did he sleep and what time did he get up and did he poop and did he do this, and, you know, and so I'll share these things, and it actually seems to really help people see how they're coming across, takes the shame out of kind of owning their parts, their steps in the dance. So I think in that way it's been really helpful. And then I think the practice of pausing in my personal life, right, has also really helped. You know, I think sometimes, you know, you're in a session, maybe with a family, and the child just puts it so beautifully into words, you know, how painful it is when maybe their parents make, you know, a suggestion or too many reminders or set them up too many appointments with, you know, too many things, and they just let you know, and it gives you a bit of a window, like maybe this is what's happening for my child right now. And so I'll bring that to them sometimes, you know, oh, I was with this 10-year-old today and she was saying this, and I wonder if you sometimes feel like that. And they'll tell me, you know, yes or no. And it's lovely, right? Like, it's just a lovely, I feel so blessed to be in a career where I have to look at myself all the time. Mm. So you much for you as well.
Sometimes it can be a little too frequent, but but I agree. Like, this is attachment work, EFT work. You're kind of signing up not just for the career of helping others look into themselves. You're signing up for the life work of looking into yourself, and that can be. I was talking to someone recently, and her comment was kind of like, I just kind of thought I would get to a point where I wouldn't need to do that anymore as a therapist. I just kind of thought I would get to the place of kind of like, I've evolved, I've self-actualized, right? In Maslow's words.
Right.
And just trying to reframe for her and for my supervisees of like the personal work, the self work, the self of the therapist work is kind of constant. It's just kind of always there for us. And that's at the same time, that can feel overwhelming. But it is good work, and it's hard work at the same time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And leaning into it, like, can be exhausting. Let's be honest.
That's it. No, I mean, I often, you know, my work is being able to put a pin in the self-reflection, you know, because I can just go there and stay there at times a little bit too much. But, you know, you navigate, right? Every time you go through something big in your life, you kind of figure it out a little bit more, right? Where it's like, okay, I need to slow down in my sessions. I need to slow down in my personal life. I need my supports. Like, who are my friends? Who are my mentors at work? How am I going to take care of myself in a fun, light, easy way?
Yes.
And am I going to reflect in a really intentional way?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I appreciate what you're saying, Colette, because you're reminding me that sometimes what can happen is life stages, life events will cue that next chapter of self, of the therapist and self person, you know, person work. And pregnancy and being a new mom, taking on a new life role, two really key attachment based life events that can cue our own attachment work that is kind of coming up to the surface and is ready to be tended to again on another pass. And with a new perspective, because, right, a new mom role gives you a new perspective on attachment. And there are other life events that also cue the personal work, the therapist work. But you're
listeners, check out our book for children of any age. It's called A Jumble of Thoughts and a Tangle of Feelings. It's on Amazon.com. If you know a child out there who is having a tough time, but unable to put that distress into words, this book is your guide to helping them figure out what is going on. Whether you're an educator, a therapist, or a parent, we really think this will be a helpful guide for you.
Just reminding me that I wanted to acknowledge, like, that we see this in ourselves, right? And this happens with our clients. Like, I'm coming in because I'm pregnant. I'm coming in because I'm about to give birth in 2 months. And I got a lot of stuff coming up for me. And there are, again, like I said, other life events that cue the work as well.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's interesting because I'm on the horizon. I have a 10-year-old and a 14-year-old. And they're, you know, they'll be 11 and 15 soon, you know. And then, of course, I'm heading into menopause here, right? So we joke, right? You're like, there's going to be lots of feelings and lots of reactions in the house, guys, you know? So we are.
Yeah, so yeah. It's so true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like you said, our stuff comes up, right? Like, you know, seeing your children go through a certain thing, right? Like my 10-year-old right now, you know, he's really opening up about lots of stuff, self-concept and identity, all of that. And, you know, I have to, when I think about, wow, what was it like for me at 10, grade 4, grade 5, you know, and I was like, wow, like that, those were some rough years for me growing up, you know. So there's a lot of that, again, kind of going to that inner child a little bit and taking care of that little girl and then kind of coming back out and being mom and being present for him, you know. Yeah, you have to be careful, right? Because my experience then isn't his, but there's some part that are helpful to share.
Sure, exactly.
That's such a wonderful skill in the EFT world, which is before we just respond to whatever's in front of us in the children, is to go back and really think, like, how is this hitting me internally? Mm-hmm. What was my experience when I was 10? What was life like? And whether we learn from that internally or whether that just helps to regulate us a little bit, apply some self-compassion before we respond. Like, we often recommend that parents or caregivers do that based on, you know, the age child that they're busy parenting, raising.
And then making a decision, like you said, Colette, about, okay, now that I've kind of done this internal check, then what do I do with it, right? What do I share? What do I not share? Can I make use of any of it in a parental way, in a caregiving attachment way? And you kind of have to do a quick filter sometimes, right, in the moment.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, because I mentioned to you both that I can be prone to oversharing, you know? And so
Sounds like me, Colette.
Totally. So I have to kind of, the more I can pause and reflect, the better. But yeah, I do find with youth, they're so interested in hearing how things were for us, right? And that universality of experience, right? That's a kind of, you know, burgeoning concept for them, right? Is like, oh, right. Oh, everyone's feeling like this, right? And then we can kind of hold that hope of like, you know, I work through it. I get it's hard. You can always come and talk to me about it. I'm here, mm-hmm. here to help you, you know? And I can promise you it will grow and change, right?
Oh, so can I tell an Isaac story? Because you're queuing up an Isaac story for me.
Well, I want to hear an Isaac story.
Okay, so it just happened last night, so it's super fresh, and it's what you just said, the universality of the experience. They want to know what it was like for us. So just last night, my husband and Isaac were playing in the street, and Isaac got a skinned knee and a skinned elbow, and he came in with some redness on him, right? So he comes in, you know, my husband takes care of him, and he walks out, he's got the band-aids now, and he looks to me in the kitchen and he says, did you ever get hurt? Did you ever get, injuries? He's five now, so he doesn't use the word boo-boo anymore. Did you ever get an injury when you were playing with your mommy and daddy? So I kind of gave some information, and then he said, and then what did they do? What did they do for your injury? And I was like, you're blowing my mind, kid.
Right?
He's imagining me as a little girl playing with my mommy and daddy, and he's asking about the attachment. Like, how did they respond to you?
Exactly. It
blew my mind. Just blew my mind.
5 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's so interesting because, you know, when I'm sure you guys use the similar question, but, you know, I don't always do every question every time in every assessment. But my tried and true is,
tell us,
who did you go to for comfort when you were a child? And I'll often have to say, like, so for example, maybe you're at school, nobody would play with you or whatever, or maybe you fell, you skinned your knee. I'll often use that one. And then, you know, who did you go for comfort, and what would they do to comfort you if they did, right? Of course, because there's mm-hmm. lots of people who, no one, they'll say no one, right?
Yeah.
So that's one of my...
Such an evocative question. Because you know, most of us have had those experiences. And then here you have Rhonda, like you've obviously, I'm assuming, like walked Isaac through his experiences so many times that he can now actually do like a move to even for you. It's amazing. I was just thinking, I was actually having some reprieve finally this week because I've got one of my kids has really struggled with anxiety. And for the first many years, I was just banging myself on the head. Like, why did I do this to her? Where did this come from? Couldn't I have done this differently? Oh my gosh, now I wish I could re-raise her and do it differently. And right. And then now she's 14. And just the other day, I was thinking, well, at least it came out when she was young enough. Mm-hmm. And what I am doing is teaching her how to work around this and how to live with this. And I have so many years now to walk her through that, that hope by the time she maybe eventually leaves my household, she'll know how to self-soothe and do that herself. Absolutely. So I think I'm finally feeling a bit more hopeful because I'm actually seeing her starting to feel more confident mm-hmm. in that internal management. And I was like, wow, okay. So it's not the end of the world. Like, we all have our stuff. It's about just getting to know it and managing it and learning to live with it, right?
Mm. Love that, Catherine. I love that. And thank you for sharing your story about your kiddo. I just think, like, again, like our self-work, like our personal work, our self, the therapist work, shapes our parenting work.
Right.
That just informs like all of what we, how we respond and, you know, our understanding of cycles. And then we're able to see cycles with our kids. What are the common triggers that my kid has? Right. What are the things, how is he going to, what's his kind of initial feeling he's going to go to? And then what's the stuff underneath? And then what do you usually do when you have those feelings come for you? And all those repetitions that we do for ourselves, that mm-hmm. we do for ourselves as parents, that when we do for our kids, all those repetitions just can lead to some really beautiful, deeper understanding, appreciation, compassion, organizing it all.
Yeah.
And being able to experience co-regulating, mm-hmm. being able to experience self-regulation. I just think it just builds and builds and builds on each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so resonating with what you're saying too, Catherine, because of course I've had all those similar thoughts, like, what did I do? And had I not done this? And had I not done that? And they'd be different people, humans, whatever. And yet it's like, you know, they are who they are and they have their own struggles. And, you know, we have this opportunity while they're living with us to teach them how to work through struggle, right? And how we manage, you know, different
things. Yeah.
I do all these funny little things with my kids to try to, you know, promote self-regulation and checking in, right? And one thing that goes off is I have an alarm that goes off at certain times of the day when I'm getting a little wound up. And so like 20 minutes before school pickup or like 20 minutes before bedtime or like 5:40 when you're probably cooking dinner and homework.
Brilliant.
Input. Yeah. So it's so funny. It's this kind of nice little song. And so it was like, how are you doing? What are you feeling? What do you need? Kind of a check-in. So now it's so funny. Anytime that alarm goes off, you know, they'll be across the room. I'm good.
It's so predictable and consistent.
Yeah, totally.
And you set those alarms based on experience of knowing these are the times when things tend to work up in our household.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot. That's so practical.
Yeah, well, because it's like I need that check-in, right? Like it's just like, you know, how I know I'm going to be stressed and got a million things out in my head or being all anxious. But you wonder if they get it, if they're actually taking it in.
And yes.
Once in a while, you see your kid, my son plays baseball, and I'd notice him going off to bat, and he's taking these huge, deep breaths, right? And he's shaking it off, and never in my house.
It
matters, right?
It matters to him what's important to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He feels himself worked up. It matters so much to me how I do when I'm at bat. And he uses his self-regulating tools that you've modeled and set timers for at your home. I love that.
And at your house, you know, he knows you're there, so he doesn't really have to do it himself. But when he needs to, he can self-regulate like that. So, Colette, we just have a few more minutes here. And what I was wondering is, like, a lot of our listeners are learning EFFT, and what we sometimes see in the journey of learning this pretty tough but amazing model is that people can get very outcome focused, right? They can push themselves really hard. And when am I going to learn it? When do I get certified? And I think what I'm appreciating about you is you started by saying, I have this value of showing up as a congruent, authentic therapist. And you have somehow managed to go slowly and be okay with that along the journey. It feels like you're process oriented, you're not so outcome oriented, which is hard for us to do, is to slow down and just apply the work to us on a human level so that we can really show up, you know, more authentically, and so that we're regulated when we're trying to learn the skills. How have you been able to make that okay for yourself? Like, is that just a value inside of you, or what encouragement do you have for our listeners who are just so trying to like learn this, but then they're so stressed in the learning that it's hard for them to actually absorb because, you know, maybe they haven't applied it to themselves as much?
No, that's a great question. Yeah, I just think experiences are our biggest teacher, really. I know it sounds like a bit of a cliche, but, you know, I learn so much from my clients, right? And I learn so much from supervision. And, you know, when I'm rushing in life or in my sessions, like I am not getting anywhere, right? I'm not in attunement. I'm not staying with an emotion long enough. When I have tried to really like sock in that model and learn it and move myself forward, you can even hear it in my voice, the intensity I approach my work with. Like that's not, EFT, right? Like that's like, give me something, you know? So, yeah, you know, I think that you're going to get there. That was kind of it for me. Right. And, you know, just being able to kind of check in and be like, it's about being a good therapist. It's not about being certified. And I suppose I was also quite lucky that I had a really good referral network. And so, you know, it wasn't like I needed the certification to grow my practice or anything. Like all of that has happened for me anyways. So I think it's just that, you know, there's no rush. Like there's no rush at all. There's so much to learn out there, and it's okay to take little U-turns, and it's okay to, you know, get a little distracted and get interested in something else. You know, I've taken little things in neurodiversity and, you know, sex therapy and trauma, and, you know, it all comes together. So I would just kind of say that it's all good. But you know, you can't, you know, you can't expect the training to replace your own personal work.
Can you say that again, Colette? That was really key, I think.
You can't expect the training to replace your personal work.
Walking in attachment-based, emotion-focused, process-oriented approach. And when you embrace those fundamentals, the training is just kind of, what's the word, like adjunct, and just supports what you've already walked and lived yourself.
100%. Yeah, they, you know, there's the saying in EFT, by going slow, you accomplish more. Right? And so,
thank you.
Yeah.
You, Colette, going slow, we can accomplish more. Really appreciate your wisdom, your words, your experience. Thank you for sharing so openly, so heartfelt.
Oh, pleasure to be here. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Yay. Thank you, Colette. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your personal sharing and your experience of becoming a clinician, becoming a human being, developing and evolving and growing. Just thank you so much.
Oh, thank you both.
That's it for today, folks. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you again for our next journey.